question before we give title of the message tonight. What kind of person would you be if pastor had to send you somewhere to fill in for him or to meet the needs of someone else that he couldn't if he would send you to do that? I want you to think about that tonight, because tonight we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and he has two companions that he's going to send back to the church at Philippi because he couldn't go himself. Let me ask you the question. Would you be the kind of person that he could depend on to go back and minister to the people that were in need? And I believe one of the greatest blessings that I've had since I've been here at Shining Light, as Pastor mentioned tonight, it kind of goes along with the message, and Jamelli's here. When I think about her being here when we were back in the storefront. And I remember many of times that when Pastor was out of town, believe it or not, some of the craziest things used to happen. We'd have people to come in here and speak in tongues. We had one guy, he came in and he gave him an opportunity to give a testimony. He jumped on the piano, and I tell you, he was like back in the old Baptist churches that we came out of when we were back growing up. And I tell you, I have seen it all, amen, when he wasn't here. But I think about the probably the most wonderful times, believe it or not, that I had to minister and be a blessing, not only I hope to pray to those that God allowed me to be a blessing to, but they were a blessing to me. And I want to share some of that tonight in my testimony along with the message tonight. But I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to think about that. But would you be that kind of a person? Because that's what the Apostle Paul is going to do here in this area in the book of Philippians that we're going to look at. Take our Bibles. Let's stand with me tonight. And we're going to look at these two people. One was named Timotheus, or was Timothy, and the one who was named Epaphroditus that Paul is going to relate to and show us some things about these men that really, I believe, that not only were they a blessing to the church at Philippi, but they were a blessing to Paul. And I believe that we need to all only have some good people in the house of God, but we need to have some companions that are a blessing to us. And would you be that kind of a person? Look at Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it would go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary that to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and a fellow servant, a fellow soldier, but your messenger and that minister to my wants. For I have long after, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye have heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore with more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to the supply your lack of service to me." Father, bless now this time that we can come together. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Empty me of myself that you might speak, I might speak, thus saith the Lord, that it would be a blessing tonight and an encouragement to your people to see how these men were such a blessing to Paul, but yet they were worthy to be used by you to minister to people when we see the great need that was there. Pray you bless now, and only you can. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. So I want you to think about it. As I ask the question, here's Paul, that Paul loved the Lord, and one of the greatest things that Paul always had in mind, he always wanted to make sure that the gospel was carried forward. And these two men served with Paul in the gospel, and that was the kind of reputation that they had. But I want you to think about it tonight. We talked about the conduct of the gospel, but we're going to talk about these companions in the gospel. When we talked about the conduct, we talked about last time that we need to work out our own salvation, because Paul said you need to work out your own salvation, because the salvation that you're working out is to show other people the importance of the gospel and what it has done in your life. We live in a crooked and perverse nation, as we see in verse number 15, that he talks about, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Because it's important for carrying forth the gospel that you and I, God has called us to do. He didn't call anybody else to do that. God has placed that responsibility upon us, is to carry out the gospel. And those things were important to Paul. But I asked the young people this morning, y'all know that I work with the teenagers as well. I asked the teenagers, one of the things, what would people say about you as far as your character when they think about you? This plays in here as well when we think about it, because we can look at the character of these two men. And we think about who Paul and how he talks about what their character was like. But Paul also talked about their coming, why he was sending them there, because he had a purpose in sending them there. Think, first of all, we think about two things or two people that were here. One was a fellow servant, which he calls his fellow servant, and that was Timotheus. One was a fellow soldier, which was Epaphroditus, because he was sick, but yet even through him being sick, he was a soldier that had been to war with Paul. You know, when it comes to preaching the gospel, we're in a fight. We're in a battle, and we need somebody alongside of us that's going to help us go even through the battles, because that's what Epaphroditus did when he was there with Paul. And think about the fellow servant here. Why was he sending Timothy? Timothy was the kind of person that Paul talks about that was the first person in his plan of what he wanted to do. Notice what he says in verse number 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul was saying here, I can send Timotheus because he cares for you. He cares about people. And Paul says, I can send him because he was like-minded, is one of the things that he's going to say about Timothy. His coming was that Paul was going to keep the right perspective. You know, many times when we want to do something, we want to do it, and we want God to bless it after we do it. Amen? And Paul understood that you can have a plan and want to do something, but God may change that plan. And God changed Paul's desire to go to Tarsus, but God sent him to Macedonia because that's where God wanted him to go. So Paul knew the importance about that. If we go back to Acts chapter 16, and we won't go there tonight for that very reason. So when Paul says, he says, but I trust in the Lord. He said, if the Lord wills, I will send him to you. Because I want to go, but I'm going to send him if the Lord wills it. Because Paul not only said, but I trust in the Lord that I would be able to come shortly. Because Paul keeping things into perspective. We may have a plan to do something, but if it's not God's will, folks, it shouldn't be done. But it was God's will, because we know that they went back to this church and went back there because Paul wanted to send them back there so that he would know how these people were doing. Why was it so important for Paul to understand and know how these people were doing? You know, one of the things that happens in that society that they live in, just like society that we live in today, you know, the devil is always busy in churches. You know, he's always sending somebody into churches to try to draw people away from the truth and try to steer them away from the truth. How many of y'all, when you can remember when you first got saved, and one of the greatest challenges that you had in your first of all in your life was to understand the security of your salvation? You know, if the devil can get you to doubt who you are in Christ, you'll never be a witness for him. And Paul understood these young Christians. He had a desire because they were his spiritual babies that he saw this church come to fruition because God used him to start this church. So he had a concern for them. So I can know their spiritual state. Amen. Because it was important to him. So I'm going to send somebody there before I get there, because I may not be able to get there, because if the Lord wills it, he could send me somewhere else. So he says it's going to be a prompt. In other words, he said, I'm going to send him shortly. So the perspective was, if God wills it, it's going to happen. But the promptness he had in mind here was, if it's going to be shortly, I'm going to send him there. How many of y'all ever been looking for somebody to come somewhere when you were expecting him? Would you be excited about him? I know when we have friends and we have family that we're looking forward to seeing sometimes, don't you get excited about having them to come when you think about them coming to visit with you or to see you? And that's what Paul is saying. I'm going to send them shortly. So I hope that they got excited about it. Amen. And so we see here that he had not only sent it, but Paul had a purpose for that, that I would be of good comfort. That was Paul's purpose for Timothy going there to be with them. So we see the coming of Timothy was important to Paul. Paul wanted to know the spiritual conditions of these believers that were at the church at Philippi, to know that they were doing well. Paul hoped that that would be how they were doing. And I think about it today. I know that when Pastor went out of town many a times, and I pray that he was able to have a relaxed time. Sometimes when he first started to go, he didn't have a relaxed time. He was always wondering how the church was going when he was away. And now he's gotten a little bit better. He doesn't even call as much as he does. So Pastor White can take care of. But you know what? I count it a privilege that I would be able to do that. And I'm not saying it because I'm bragging on myself, but I'm going to brag on God, because God gives every one of us, believe it or not, an opportunity to minister in the realm of where we are in our Christian life. I remember Pastor saying it yesterday, one of the things about Peter, that Peter could write and talk about the importance of suffering and going through trials and how he failed God and how Peter went through all of these things, because that was where Peter was. He knew what it was like to fail God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. One of the greatest things that I can't say is the greatest thing, but one of the things that God has given me an opportunity to do is to care for people. If you ask my wife what is one thing about her husband, that's one of his traits, is that I'm very sensitive. I'm very sensitive in a lot of areas where most of y'all don't know that, but, you know, I am sensitive, and I know that about myself. And I have to be careful in that. But you know what? God gives me a chance to minister when Pastor went away, and so on. One of the most wonderful times that I've ever had was, I remember when one of Pastor's friends named Crawley, his son got shot and killed down there at Lakeside when it was a gym. And now it's called, it is not Pantano. What's the name of that school that's down there? Right there as you go past the little Sonic. It's whatever that school is. It used to be a gym there. And one of Pastor's friends that he went to was when his before Christ days, or his BC days, that he used to hang out with. I remember Pastor went to this other country. I can't remember the name of the country that he went to. But I remember him calling me and said, look, call Pastor White. He told Crawley, said, you call Pastor White, and he will take care and preach your son's funeral. And folks, this was the first funeral that I ever preached. But what am I saying here? Paul was sending Timothy because Timothy would care for them. And when you're ministering to a church, you want a bishop, you want a person that you can trust to minister to people, because he has a passion to care for them. And that's what Paul did. And Timothy, he says he was like-minded. Paul says Timothy was like-minded. He was just like me. He had the same convictions. He had the same creed. He had the same care about people. And Paul could send him because he knew he was sending a servant that would do, act, and behave just like he did. And I remember when he called, Crawley called me, he said, Pastor Dawson, and he told me about who he was. Pastor had already told me. And he said that I can call you and have you to preach my son's funeral. And folks, Pastor, well, why do you say that? I've lost my mother. I've lost my father. I've lost my grandfather, my dad. I know what it's like to lose somebody that you love. But I also know that in losing them, we still need to be ready to give out the gospel, because that's what people need to hear. And I believe that Paul could send Timothy to be a need and a blessing to them, but Paul also knew that Timothy would use that opportunity to share the gospel. And what we did that day, Mrs. Dawson, and I remember Miss Dawson played the piano, and she sang for and helped out with the services. And I remember they had it at the chapel, the church that was there. We had it at the chapel that's right across from Walmart or Kmart that's down there on Broadway. And people from all over that knew that young man, they were people outside of the mortuary there. They couldn't even sit down. They couldn't even get inside. They had two chapels inside the church, and both of those churches were full. But I knew this. I knew what they were going through, because I knew what it was like to lose my own father. I knew what it was like to lose, well, it wasn't my father at the time, but I knew what it was like to lose my mother. I knew what it was like to lose my grandmother, and I knew what they meant to me. And I could have a passion for them and care and meet the needs of their family because I knew what I wanted when I went through that. And here it was, Paul was sending them back, especially Timothy, because he would care for them. See, Paul had a conviction. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he's saying, look, he's saying that Timothy is the same way. Paul said, I'm concerned that we would have this testimony. And look at verse number 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a perverse and crooked, perverse nation in which we live. Paul had this kind of creed, and that's how he lived, because the gospel needs to be carried forward because of the people that you're going to be ministering to. Can God count on you to do that? Because, see, Paul is giving his credentials about Timothy because his character was so important. Timothy was same-minded when you think about his coming, but think about his character. He was same-minded. He was like-minded with Paul. He had convictions. For me to live is Christ and to die to gain. He was the kind of person that had a testimony in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. And in verse number 20, he says this, he hath concern for people. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's the kind of person that Timothy was. And Paul knew that about him. He was his spiritual son that he had raised. Do you know of anybody else that sent their son to take our sin? Jesus Christ was God's son that he sent. He was just like God. He loved us so much, even while we were sinners, Christ came and he died for us because he cared about the condition that we were in so that he could restore us back to a right relationship. And I believe that when Paul sent Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth. It doesn't make no matter how old you are, how young you are, you ought to still have a testimony for the Lord. And let nobody try to talk you out of what you believe. Stand for what you believe. Don't be like what we say, that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we ought not fall away from the gospel, because the gospel is what's needed in our society today. And God needs people that care about people. And many pastors, and I know Pastor Neil would tell you that a lot of times on Monday morning and Pastor will tell you too, sometimes when you're dealing with Christian people who don't want to act right, they don't want to behave, and sometimes Monday morning you say, Lord, you know what, I'm going to just give this stuff on up. But you know what? The ministry is all about people. You can't love people. You can't love God and not love people. You cannot do it, because he loves people. God loves people. And we got to love people. And Paul knew this about Timothy. I can send him because he cares for me. Because no man would naturally care for your state and the condition that you're in. He could send Timothy to meet whatever needs that were there because he's just like-minded, just like me. And I think about that. And we got a chance to preach Brother Crawley's son's funeral. And I knew that what I needed in my life was, and I came to understand, when I lost my mother, I didn't know why God would take her. But since that had happened, I understood some things about who God is. God loves me. He saved me. And I understand the importance of what God was doing in my life. I didn't like what God had did when he took my mother, but I understood something, that one day, I don't know whether my mother is in heaven with God, I don't know her testimony, but one thing I do know, that I couldn't do anything to bring her back, but one thing I can do, if she's in heaven one day, I'm going to be there.
Right.
I'm going to be there. And how many people are you going to take with you? How many people are going to be in heaven because of you? And that day when we got a chance to preach, that we had people that got saved. God used that message and my testimony to see people get saved. There were people that raised their hands outside of the door. There were people that raised their hands in the auditorium. And we gave a clear presentation of the gospel. And I shared the simple plan of salvation. And people prayed and bowed their heads and accepted Christ as Savior. You folks, no matter what happened, we got to give out the gospel. You got to give out the gospel. That's what's going to make a difference in people's lives. And that's the kind of passion that Paul had. And that's what he's saying that Timothy was like. I could tell you many times. I could tell you when Tony and Neek, when you remember when Boo died, I preached Boo's funeral. That was their uncle. When Mrs. Reeves' husband died, I preached his funeral because Pastor wasn't here. I remember when Miss Isadora, when she passed away, Pastor wasn't here. We got a chance to preach at her funeral, and we saw people get saved. And I remember when I preached my dad's funeral, people got saved. Because I believe it was God wanted me to do something, and that was to present the gospel. Even in that time, because that's what people need. You need to care enough about their soul to want to share the gospel. And people got saved. Why you say that? Because Paul's desire was that the gospel would still go forward. And that's the kind of person that Timothy was. Paul had a conviction. I don't care what was going on in his life, Paul still wanted the gospel to be carried forward. He says, Timothy is like me. He's selfless. All seek their own. Look at what he says in verse number 21. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. He's saying Paul is saying that Timothy was selfless. He didn't care, but Timothy was the most unselfish person that he could send. Because he didn't seek his own. He was seeking the blessings of others. That's what Paul is writing about about this chapter. And he says it in verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others what? Better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And he could say that about Timothy. How about you tonight? Are you willing to consider what would be best for other people? I tell you where it starts at. It starts with the gospel. Because that's what they need to hear. It's the thing that drove Paul. He said he was unselfish. He was sincere. Timothy had proven to be a genuine and faithful servant. Look at verse number 22. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. He was a sincere Christian. There was nothing phony about him. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you're ministering to people, they don't want no phony. They want somebody that is sincere about who they believe in and what they believe. I've been out many a times and pastored many a times and knocked on doors, and people want to hear something that's going to help change their lives. And when you are genuinely sincere about what you believe about what Christ has done in your life, and you can give the testimony how God has changed your life, whether it be by something you lost, be by something that you gained, be by something that you're going through, God uses that to be an example and a testimony to somebody, because I believe within your lifespan and in the circle of your life, God gives you opportunity to witness to somebody that you can identify with. Yes, he will. That's how he works. Whatever it is that you've gone through in your life, God can use that testimony to be a blessing and a help to somebody in their life. That's how he works, and we got to be sensitive to what the gospel can be presented. Boy, it's hot in here tonight, ain't it? Amen. Amen. He was a son. And he said, he talked about his sonship in that verse. He talked about he served. He served with me where? In the gospel. He was committed. It means that when he served, he was committed. He was like a slave. He was with me. It means that he was cooperative in his cooperation with Paul. And he was consecrated unto what? Unto the gospel. Look at verse number 22. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me and what he served with me in the gospel. He was consecrated unto the gospel. That's what he could say about Timothy. And that's the kind of characteristics or the character of who Timothy was. Paul was laying it out to them about Timothy's character. You can trust him. You can look forward to him being there. He's going to be just like-minded, just like me. And I'm going to send him to you to be a blessing to you so that he can help you, because I want to know where your state is. And if there's something that you need, this young man can help you out. Notice now we're going to talk about the coming of Timothy, and we talked about his character. But look at the second person that Paul is talking about. He says, yet I suppose, in verse number 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and in fellowship, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wounds. Boy, he said a mouthful about Epaphroditus. So why was he sending Epaphroditus? Look at verse number 30. Because Epaphroditus was committed to the gospel in such a way, because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. Here he was already on deathbed. They had sent Epaphroditus, and we turn back here to chapter number 4, we can look and see where Epaphroditus came into the picture, into Paul's life. Look at verse number 14 of chapter number 4. Now let's look at verse number 18. We don't want to go back up that far. Look at verse 18, but it's all good, ain't it? He says there in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So what Epaphroditus had done, he had took the gifts or the offerings that the church wanted to send to Paul to help with the ministry or help Paul in his need financially. Epaphroditus had come to bring that money or those gifts to him. I want you to think about it. In those days, there was no police. There were crooks and robbers probably on every path and road that you could travel down. But yet Epaphroditus took all of those things and went through all of that danger, went through all of those things to get over to Paul and to be a help to him and encouragement from the church that was sending him to bring those gifts to Paul. So Paul wanted to understand that he came because you had sent him. But he says, I suppose it necessary now to send him back to you, because he had been my companion in labor, he and a fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he have ministered to my wants. He says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now here it tells us the kind of person that Epaphroditus was. Paul said it was necessary that I send him. So immediately or rapidly, he was going to send him as well. Why? Because he knew that it was necessary that he send him back, because he could get help there in Philippi that he could not get where he was with Paul. He was sick and he needed help. And Paul was glad now that he could, looking forward to God allowing him now to send Epaphroditus back as well, to not only to relieve him of all of the things that he was going through physically, but also to relieve Paul of worrying about Epaphroditus because he was sick, because he was doing the work of the gospel. But you notice some things that he said about him, though. Notice what he said when we think about his character. He said he served. In other words, he was a companion in laboring. Epaphroditus could work, and he could work together with others. You know, that's one of the hardest things for Christians to do in a church when it comes to serving God. He said that he was a companion in laboring. In other words, he knew how to work with people, and he knew how to get the work done. And that's one of the things that we all need to learn how to do when it comes to being in the house of God and children of God. We need to learn how to work with other people. Amen? Because us working together in unity, we can help carry forth the gospel. If people walk into church and all they see is a bunch of Christians who say they're Christian and they're arguing and fighting over what color the carpet is, what color the wall is painted, what she's wearing, and they didn't speak to me when I walked in and nobody welcomed me. If they had those kind of attitudes, you know what? They're not going to want the gospel. They probably want to get out of here. Amen? But he's saying that Epaphroditus knew how to work with people. And he knew how to work with people. He knew how to do the work that needed to be done. You know what? And I say this, and it always been my greatest desire. And at the time when we started out in the storefront, I was not the assistant pastor of the church. I was just a servant who wanted to serve God. But I wanted to help my pastor to make his load light. So when he left or when he needed something to be done, he could count on me to do that. I just wanted to serve God. And it ought to be the desire and testimony of every one of us. Every one of us ought to have that desire to want to serve and be counted on that we can serve. We know how to work with people, and we know how to get the work done. And so when he would leave, and one of the things that Ken Duffy and I used to do, when Pastor Lee, Ken and I would make sure, Jamila, you remember we had that checkered floor in the church there. And when Pastor would leave, we would all make sure me and Ken would come in there on a Saturday or something before he come back. We'd go in there and shine that floor up. And you talk about a spit shine, a military shine. We had that thing shined up. And when Pastor walked in, we wanted him to be able to walk in and say, wow, it's good to be home. But we wanted to be a church that was worthy to be presented to him when he walked in and opened those doors. And I tell you what, folks, it paid off. Because there was a time that Pastor was gone, and he told y'all that testimony just the other night when, not Lasco Foundation, Jehovah Jireh, they sent a group of men, it was three of them, I believe it was, that came from Phoenix. Here he was on the East Coast. He sent some people from Phoenix to go and check out this storefront of this little church that wanted some assistance financially. So he gonna send somebody from Phoenix to come and check out something. He's back on the East Coast. Well, I'm gonna send them and let them give me a report of what they see when they come to this church. So when they came, I was just as proud as a peacock to open that door. And when they walked in, the church was in order. They walked in and they saw that spit shine floor. They saw how the chairs were organized. They went in the back and saw how that little nursery had been carved out and put in there, and the door that went into there, and how organized it was, and the little classrooms that we had in there, the little fellowship area. It was spit and span. And when they walked in, they said, we've seen all we need to see. We're going to let him know that if y'all will take care of what you got, you'll take care of what God would give you. Amen. Just serving the Lord. Just wanting to serve God. And that's what we did, because we wanted to be servants that God could count on to do what needed to be done. And we know how to work together, and we knew how to work to get the work done. And because it gave that testimony to those people. Companion. He said he's a soldier. When you think about a soldier, most people think about a soldier. You want somebody, when you go to combat, you want somebody that's you willing to fight and trust that will be in the foxhole, we call them, that'll fight with you. So he's saying this about Epaphroditus, that he's a fellow soldier. In other words, he knew how to help fight the fight that we need to fight as Christians, because we're in a battle. It's a spiritual warfare that we're in when it comes to our Christianity, and Epaphroditus knew what it was like to fight, spiritually speaking. And that's why he called him a fellow soldier. Are you a fellow soldier tonight? Don't let the devil beat you up, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can stand up to the devil, but we don't have to do it on our own. We can do it because we trust God and because we love him. And this is what Paul is saying about Epaphroditus. In other words, he told about why he was coming, because he was sick, but he's telling about his character. When we think about his characteristics and his character, his success. In other words, he was a servant, he was a soldier, and he was successful because he was your messenger. Epaphroditus had successfully delivered the gifts. Look at verse number 25. He says, your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. In other words, he was successfully had brought these gifts that you had sent him because he loved the people at Philippi. And he was very sentimental towards them because they had heard that he had been sent. In other words, he was burdened because they knew that he had been sick. And you know what? When you have somebody counting on you to do something, one of the last things you want to do is to be sick. Because he cared about them. Because he cared about people. And he cared about what they thought about him. Because he loved the saints at Philippi. But you know, he did all of that even in a crisis of what he was going through. Look at verse number 26. And it says, "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, look, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." In other words, Epaphroditus was mindful of the sickness because they had heard that he had been sick. And he didn't like that kind of news being delivered, but yet he wanted to still serve God. And the magnitude was that he was near sick unto death. In other words, he had put his life on the line to still keep serving God. You know what? There's sometimes that I'm not saying it's not that you ought not, if you get sick, you ought not be home. But sometimes you got to serve God when you don't feel good. Right? When you don't have the best help that you have. I'm getting old, and I used to could dunk. Gregory don't believe it, but I used to go up in the gym in the morning. And I used to go in there, and they wanted me to be the weather forecaster. Amen? I'd be in a Terrell. Look, I'd go in there, Terrell, and I'd be shooting around. And one of the guys would come in and say, "Pat, to Brother White, can you go check the weather and tell us what the weather's going to be today?" I'd go up there and check the weather. I'd come back down, and I'd give them a report. Y'all will get that after a while. Y'all ain't caught that yet, have you? I used to jump that high. I could go check the weather. Jordan couldn't even do that. LeBron can't do that. Amen. Zion can't do that. I couldn't either, but I checked it anyway. But death was the kind of person that he was. And God had mercy on him. Aren't you glad that God is a merciful God? And I believe one of the reasons that God had mercy on him, because God saw his heart. God knew the kind of person that he was, that he loved me and he wants to serve me and he care about people and he cares about the gospel. And I'm going to have mercy on him. I'm going to heal him. I'm going to allow him to continue to do the things that I've called him to do. Even through sickness. Y'all heard how Pastor started this church when he was probably in the worst physical condition that he could be in. But yet he didn't let that stop him. He still started his church. Epaphroditus still served in the ministry with Paul. And Paul was saying here that he was committed. Epaphroditus was a committed Christian. Even in this crisis of what was going on in his life, he was still committed to sharing and helping Paul carry for the gospel. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm smelling that chicken or pizza. You know, if I had two things tonight, and we look at all of that he did, and the characters of these two men, what would be said about you? What kind of character would you have? What kind of testimony would you have? Paul said that Timothy was like-minded. He was just like me. Not only was he's my spiritual son, but he cares about people. Do you care about people? I mean, care enough to carry the gospel to them. You care enough about them to share the gospel with them. Because like I was telling the young people this morning, when our character is in place the way it ought to be, and when the Bible speaks of, and Peter said, to add virtue to all of these things, that virtue that is being added is not like we adding love, and not that we're adding kindness. It's not like we're adding charity. It's not like we're adding brotherly kindness. But what it is when you do the right things with your character, they will develop other things in your life. That's what he's talking about. Add to your life virtue. are you adding caring and concern for other people? Because when you love the Lord the way that God wants you to love people, you care about people because that's what he wants us to do. You can minister to people because you care. But you know what? You can't do it if you're not committed. Epaphroditus was committed. If we could make application of Timothy's life, it was that he cared about people, just like Paul. If we could add the characteristic to Epaphroditus' life and make application, was that he was committed to the gospel in spite of how he felt. And that's the kind of people that God needs in churches today. That's the kind of people that Shining Light Baptist Church needs today. People that concern about the ministry and concern about the gospel going forth, that are committed to the gospel. That's what we need today. And that's the application. This is what Paul saw in these two men. Is that in you tonight? I praise God that I understood and I understand what it's like to lose somebody that you love. But I can tell you this, one of the greatest joys that I ever have is to know that my Father's in heaven. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because I shared the gospel with him. And when my father passed away, I could give a testimony at his funeral. When I called him on the telephone, one morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, he was going into surgery. And I called him and I said, Dad, he said, what you want, boy? When they call you boy, you know they really serious? Back where we from in North Carolina. I said, Dad, you know what? I just want to talk to you before you go into the surgery. You know, you may not get up from that table. They could give you the wrong medicine. He could cut 1 inch too close to this place or 1 inch too close to that place. But if you die on that table, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? He said, boy, I don't know that. I said, well, would you like to know? And over the telephone, I shared the gospel with him. It wasn't because I wasn't concerned about the surgery, but what I was more concerned about was his soul. Because I knew if he was saved, no matter what happens, I would see him in heaven because I already got the assurance of my salvation. I want my father to have him. Amen. So I shared the gospel with him. And he got gloriously saved over the phone. And when he passed away, I got a chance to spend a few days with him. And my wife encouraged me, says, Kenny, go spend some time with your dad because you don't know when you'll see him again. And I thank God she encouraged me that year and during the 4th of July, or during that time that would have been our anniversary, she encouraged me to go spend some time with my dad because he was sick. She said, you don't know if you'll ever see him again. And I spent that time with my dad. And he passed away in September. But when he passed away, you know what? It brought joy to my heart because he wasn't suffering anymore. And that morning when I was there, he had so many medicines on the table. I said, man, how in the world do you know that you're taking the right ones? He must have had 40 bottles of medicine on the table. And I watched him say, give me that blue pill, boy. Give me that pink one. Give me that. No, I can't take that one right now. And I was like, oh, my God. But you know what? I knew he was saved. And when I got the call that my dad had passed, matter of fact, we were there for him. I was there. When I got to the hospital, driving up from Pensacola, Florida, I got there and he was on one of those ventilators. And I went up there to that room that night and I know he wasn't going to live long. The next day he passed away. They called me and said, you need to get up here before I could get to the hospital. He had passed away. And when Teresa and I left that hospital that day, she said, well, who's going to preach a funeral? I said, I am. She said, how are you going to do that? Because I believe that's what God wants me to do. Because I knew that there were going to be people there at that funeral who had never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I knew that if I wanted my dad's life to stand for anything, it would stand for the truth that's in the gospel because he received it, and I want people to know that he had that testimony, and I wanted to see people get saved by the glory of God. And that's what he did. I saw people get saved at that funeral. And I remember one of the young girls that I grew up with, we call her Pudding. Get all those country names when you grew up in. And she said, Kenny, when I got done and went out to the cemetery, she said, Kenny, I'm going to tell you right now, I have never heard preaching like that before. And she got saved. She says, because we don't get that kind of preaching. But I'm giving all praise to God. Because no matter what the crisis is in your life, the gospel still needs to be shared. Because I would guarantee you that the majority of the people that you're around, you're not sure that they're saved.
Right.
And you ought to make sure that they are. Because the gospel is the most important thing.
Right.
And that's what excited Paul, and that's what drove him to be the kind of person that he was. Instead of him killing Christians, he was wanting to save Christians and see Christians get saved. And that was his testimony. So what is your testimony today? Do you care about people? And are you committed to the gospel? And are you committed to the ministry? That's what it's all about. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for speaking to my heart and how through all of this, I can look back and see how you worked in my life and see how Paul could trust these companions that had served with him in the gospel to minister to people, to meet needs, to bring joy into his life and also in the lives of the people there at the church of Philippi. What a tremendous testimony that these two men have. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you help me to never get over loving and caring and have a concern for souls. Lord, I pray that you begin with this preacher and help me always to be committed to the gospel and committed to you. And I pray that all that are under the sound of my voice tonight would take these two applications and make them real in their lives. God, help me never to lose that passion. Help me to never lose that desire, because that's what it's all about. People need the gospel. People need you. Help us to be committed to that. Not only financially, but help us to be physically and spiritually committed to you. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. And I would be remiss tonight to ask that there would be someone here tonight that's not 100% sure. If you close your eyes tonight in this world, would you open them in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here tonight and you don't have that testimony, you know one of the greatest needs that you have tonight is to know that you're on your way to heaven. Is there anyone here like that tonight? Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Anybody slip up their hand tonight and say that, Pastor White, I don't have that testimony, but I'd sure like to. Anyone like that tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor White, I heard the message and I heard the things that you shared tonight, but I do want to be concerned. I do want to care about people more than I do, because truly that ought to be my testimony. Would you slip your hands up tonight? I see hands going up all around. Not only do we want God to help us to be concerned, but we need a balanced life. We need to be committed to it as well. How many of you slip your hands up and say, I want to be committed the way that Epaphroditus was? I see hands going up as well for that. Father, thank you. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask, heads bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to ask Gregory to play a hymn of invitation. And maybe God has spoken in your heart about those applications that you can make tonight. And maybe you want to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to work and help you to do that, because I've already asked him to help me as I thought about this message. God, help me to not lose passion for people, to care about them. It's not about me, it's about you. Help me to be committed to sharing the gospel whenever I have an opportunity to do that, because that's what people need. When Jesus dealt with Nicodemus, one of the first things that Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because he knew that Nicodemus needed to be saved, and anything else that he would say and anything else that he would do, it would be nothing to him. But the greatest need he had was the saving of his soul. And Jesus met that need by explaining to him the importance of being born again. And that's what people need. We may not be able to do a lot for them in this life, but one thing we can do is take people to heaven with us, because we're willing to share the gospel. What about you tonight? Do you care? Are you concerned? Are you committed? Help us all to be like-minded, just like Timothy was with Paul. We can be fellow servants, but we can also be fellow soldiers, because it is a war spiritually when it comes to dealing with the life of people today. I'm going to ask our pastor to come now and close as he sees fit.
As Christians are still praying, let God speak to your heart. Talking about care and concern, fellow servants, fellow soldiers. I'm not sure where your service level is at or what you desire it to be, but I do know this, that God is able. He's able to work in you, he's able to work in me, and able to make us like Timothy, able to make us like Epaphroditus. There are more needs out there than people that are willing to meet the needs. We need more fellow servants to get behind the service of ministry. More soldiers to get in the trenches and meet the needs that are there. And I do pray your heart's desire is, Lord, make me more like Jesus Christ to be a servant. Make me more like Jesus Christ to be a soldier. Make me, Lord, to do what you would have me do. Father, we thank you for what we've heard tonight. And God, I pray you continue to work in each and every one of our lives, Lord, to be more like you. Lord, be dispatchable. Be servants that can be sent. Be soldiers that will serve. And Lord, to just get into the ministry and roll up our sleeves and want to do a little bit more for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the many servants that we have already. And Lord, just the ones that are like-minded. And Lord, we know the desire of everyone is to be like-minded. Now help us to be more like you, Lord Jesus Christ, in that which we think, what we say, and what we do. Thank you for the group of ministers that we have already. Lord, there are many, many more you want to add to the ranks of soldier and servant, Lord, to work in each and every one of our hearts and our lives. We just thank you and love you for being a great God. And, Lord, just a tremendous blessing to each and every one of us. We ask now that, Lord, as we get ready to partake of the food next door, and Lord, you would use it to the nourishing and the strengthening of our bodies. Thank you for the many hands that prepared the food there, and Lord, that set it up. And just pray that we might have a good time of fellowshipping over the next several moments that we have together before we depart for the night. We thank you again and love you that we have this opportunity. Once again, Lord, make us those fellow servants, those fellow soldiers that we need to be for the cause of Jesus Christ, getting the gospel out in places where it cannot go. Thank you again. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, Pastor White. I appreciate that. I forgot that I was gone so much from the church. Amen. But I appreciate all the time that you got a chance to stand in the gap for me. Amen. Mrs. Dawson, any words?